Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Now back to The Fan Late Night with Sean Trotar on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Oh, I can't even wait. We're going to get right into this. Our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore, joins us courtesy of Budweiser. Matt is going to be with us all season long to talk about the Denver Nuggets with us after all the games. I'm delighted to work with a guy who I respect in this town as much as anybody who covers this team. And Matt, it's a thrill to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we looked at the preseason kicks off for the Nuggets. They have a game against Portland. They play well. It's preseason. The end result doesn't really matter. Nikola Jokic didn't play. The news was all about Michael Porter Jr. making his NBA debut, unofficial as it was. And I don't believe he disappointed. Tell us a little bit about what you saw from Porter, what you expected from Porter, and what the Nuggets might have expected from Porter at this point.
I think it's kind of funny just because my bar for him is so high in that, you know, I've seen his workouts here and there. There were times last year when he would be in shooting contest on the side while everyone else was in Michael Malone's scrum. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't need to hear Malone not tell me who's starting or playing or what he's not going to do in this regular season game. And I'd watch MPJ and be like, holy, that kid can shoot. And Will Barton, who is pretty conservative with his praise, would sometimes look over at me and be like, you seeing this? So, like, I knew that the kid could shoot. I knew he could score with his size, and he's got all of those ball handling ability. So when he knocked down that first jumper, it was a good moment for him. But I knew he was going to be good at that. What's interesting is seeing, you know, he's still going to struggle with stuff like when he catches the ball and he can't move it quickly because he doesn't understand how to make those decisions that quick yet. And that's when he's going to kind of stop the ball a little bit more. The good news is he can make those tough shots. You saw that last night. That's what's going to separate him, is that ability to make those tough shots is really rare in the NBA. And for the Nuggets to have a guy like this that can do that, I think that's great. Honestly, he got on the floor. He didn't get hurt. He looked mobile. He gave good effort on defense, even if he's lost a lot of the time. And, you know, he made some tough shots. That's about as good of a start, I think, for Michael Porter Jr. as you're going
to
get.
Is there any way to really protect his back in the NBA, or is this something the Nuggets just kind of understand that they'll be rolling the dice on for his career?
They're just going to be rolling the dice. You know, the back, the things that you don't want are back and foot injuries, and he's got both. And that's concerning, but it is what it is. And honestly, at this point, they've been so conservative with him, and they're going to continue to be. They're going to monitor him closely. They've got biometric data that they log in terms of how the muscles are responding, what muscles are working more than others. They're going to keep as close an eye on him as possible because they know, you know, the situation is fraught. But honestly, it's been this long. He's had this much time off. He's recovered as much, and he's done so much strength training. That's going to do him a lot. The Nuggets have invested a lot in their strength and training program. It's paid dividends with a lot of guys. You know, their confidence that at least they're going to give him a chance, and from there, there's only so much you can do.
The Nuggets are a deep team. They're already a good team, so Porter is joining a very good organization. He was last year, and it looks even more now when he can finally play. But at the same time, without piling too many expectations on him. This is a guy that not that long ago, I mean, we're talking fewer than 2 years ago, was being talked about as maybe the top pick in the draft. Those players tend to get into games and play big minutes early. That probably won't be the expectation for Porter, but do the Nuggets have a plan of maybe letting him carve out as much, basically as many as he can eat, as quickly as he can eat them?
I think a lot of this is going to be, sometimes you're trying, like, let's take a couple of years ago with Emmanuel Mudiay. The Nuggets were trying to find minutes for him, trying to force him into rotational situations to try and spark some growth in him. With Porter Jr., it's the opposite, where they're going to have a hard time keeping him off the floor because of his talent. Honestly, a lot of this is, with a player of MPJ's, not only his talent, but the kid knows how good he is. His family knows how good he is and has been telling him that. He knows what he's capable of. So a lot of it for Malone is going to be about accountability and teaching him, look, this team is ready to win now. We know we can win. We don't need you to win. So if you're going to win, if you're going to be on the floor, you have to show us that you're willing to do the things that help us win. It means not just getting your own buckets. It means playing defense, doing the little things, and learning how to move the ball. He has to learn to play with Nikola Jokic. And that is something that Jokic makes everybody better and can make it easy for a lot of guys. But for a guy that wants to stop the ball and have it in his hands a lot, that's an adjustment. And he's going to have to show those kind of things. The difference is that if he does commit to those things and if the Nuggets are successful with this process of not necessarily humbling him, but just enforcing accountability, it's going to make him a much better player in the long term. He's set up to succeed, but he's going to have to earn every single minute that he gets for this team.
We're talking with Nuggets insider Matt Moore. Follow him on Twitter, Hardwood Paroxysm. If you don't know how to spell that out, you can follow me on Twitter. Of course, you have to spell out S-D-R-O-T-A-R, which isn't all that much easier, S-D-R-O-T-A-R. But make sure you give Matt a follow. And I want to look down the road, and not even that far down the road, at the potential logjam they have at three. You have Will Barton ostensibly as the starter, but Malik Beasley is coming on quickly. Porter is right there. Beasley, by the way, we know about the contract situation. He signed with Rich Paul of Clutch Sports that basically is the de facto everyone come join LeBron brand. So where do we go with this sort of three-headed monster?
So Malone is kind of clear in training camp that he sees Beasley now as basically a full-time two, that he's going to be the backup two guard because that's a spot that they don't have great depth at. You know, they've got Torrey Craig can play there, but Torrey's honestly better off at three and four. So Beasley's probably going to slot in at the two spot, and his extension will determine a lot about how the season goes. If a deal is not done, I expect him to be getting a lot of offers on the trade block come February at the trade deadline. Teams are going to be beating down the door. There are several teams that have a lot of interest in Malik Beasley. The small forward rotation right now is Will Barton, Torrey Craig, Juancho Hernan Gomez, and Michael Porter Jr. And we know that one to two of those guys is going to be almost entirely out of the rotation. One will be entirely out, and one will be on the fringes. Right now, Barton and Craig are in the lead based off of, you know, Barton's longstanding history of the team and his established success and offensive skills. Craig, because of his defensive versatility and the fact that he's improved so much as a shooter. He really committed hard this summer to improving, particularly as a corner shooter with Nikola Jokic. The rest of those minutes will be probably Juancho versus MPJ, and I expect MPJ to get the rest of those minutes, but that's going to kind of be the rotation of small forward is if MPJ comes on and he's just so talented, then you're going to have to reevaluate things because then you're talking about do you take Will Barton out and then you're removing Barton, who's really skilled and too talented and has too big of a contract. Do you take Craig out, who's your best wing defender? They've got so much talent, it creates honestly a little bit of a problem in managing the rotation, and it'll definitely be something to watch as the season goes on.
And I know they don't listen to me, Matt, at all, and I understand why, but I guess I take a look at the team, and I know there are a lot of big Will Barton fans in town, and I know some of them in the media, too. I'm not one of them. I guess I look at what Torrey Craig did, which is basically unseating him as a starter in the playoffs. I look at what Porter would have to do to leap over him, and I don't think it's all that much. And I look at the idea of maybe losing Malik Beasley. And I guess were I the Nuggets, I'd be very aggressive at moving Barton to free up that money and keep a guy who I think the best is yet to come in Beasley as opposed to Barton, who may have maxed out his ability. Am I completely off base here?
I don't think you're completely off base. I think it's worth considering. A lot of this gets into what is best for the various units that you're trying to prop up. Okay, so if you start Craig, then Will Barton's coming off of the bench, and then Barton's trying to split usage with both Jamal Murray, who plays a lot in the bench units alongside Monte Morris, so he gets a little bit more control of the ball, and Michael Porter Jr., who's going to want the ball, and Jeremy Grant, who needs to get a couple of shots because he's so effective. So like, that gets very tight. If Barton's starting, you lose the defensive versatility and all those types of things. I think one of the things with considering trading Barton is just to remember that, or at least I can just tell you the Nuggets kind of framework. They're very close with Barton. The Nuggets front office is very close with Barton. There's a close relationship with Michael Malone. They have a lot of trust and belief in Will. Will was one of the guys, the first veteran guys that was like, I want to be here. I want to win. We can win. And the Nuggets need guys like that. He means a lot to the locker room. And you also, I think, there's a real hesitancy to rock the boat right now. Until the Nuggets show that they have problems that they have to solve, the Nuggets want to see how good are we before they start trying to either get better or address problems. And right now, they're looking so good, I think they're going to be real hesitant to try and solve problems that don't exist yet.
Last one for you then, Matt. When looking at these contract negotiations coming up, guys that need the extensions, who's realistically going to get one? When do we expect that that's going to happen?
So I think Juancho might get done. He's close with Jokic. The front office really likes his attitude. He's a guy that's been up and down. Came into camp with a great attitude and really showed out. I'm not as big of a Juancho guy as some. But it wouldn't surprise me if Juancho was able to come to a deal because Juancho's market isn't necessarily as high. I think Malik's a really interesting one. The fact that they're even in negotiations kind of surprised me because at some level the Nuggets are going to know that they're only going to have so much money to go around. And, you know, Paul Millsap comes off the books this summer and that frees up some room for them. But there's going to be a real hesitancy, I think, to commit big money to Beasley, and he's going to demand pretty big money on the market. So, like, my expectation would be that Beasley winds up being at least shopped at the deadline, and then maybe something works out in free agency. But, you know, this Nuggets team, I do think, still recognizes how good Beasley is. If Beasley's willing to take a compromise, which isn't really Rich Paul's bag, he could definitely come back. My expectation is that this will probably go the distance in terms of trying to figure out whether Beasley stays with Denver or not.
He is Matt Moore, Hardwood Paroxysm on Twitter, our Nuggets insider. He will be with us all season long talking Nuggets. I'm thrilled to have Matt. You're going to get some great, great breakdowns here as well. So, Matt, thank you so much. They have the Clippers coming up next. Kawhi Leonard is not going to play. Not a surprise. What are you looking forward, just very briefly, in that game? What should be the next step you will want to see from Porter?
I think, you know, it's how does he fit with Jokic? Because Jokic probably play in that game. So how does he fit alongside Nikola Jokic, which is a whole other bag? Want to see more of how Jeremy Grant and Jokic fits? That's what I think this game is going to be about, is figuring out, all right, we saw what these guys look like, you know, kind of in free run, how they look playing Jokic ball. That's the big thing to watch out for in the Clippers preseason game.
All right, thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Looking forward to working with you this season and maybe the most anticipated Nuggets season since at least the 09 campaign, and maybe we're even talking all the way back to the 80s. Appreciate the time.
Anytime, man. Take care.
All right, thank you. Matt Moore, again, that was our Nuggets insider. Thanks to Budweiser, official beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets. We'll be back. Talk more about the Broncos next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.